This episode was recorded on Wednesday, May 6th, 2020 at 10:30 a.m., and the interview was recorded earlier. Some things might have changed since then. For the most up-to-date information from Kansas Farm Bureau, visit www.kfb.org.
But those big boosts to Bill, Pat Roberts, Jerry Moran, Bob Dole before him, making sure that Kansas has a voice on the Senate Ag Committee. Guess what we'll be doing here in a year or two? We're going to be doing hearings on the next farm bill. It's hard to imagine.
That is the voice of Congressman Dr. Roger Marshall. He represents the Big First Congressional District here in Kansas. This week, we caught up with Dr. Marshall. That is on today's episode of Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau. Election season is here, and with that also comes endorsements from Kansas Farm Bureau. This year, Vote FBF endorsed Congressman Dr. Roger Marshall for the United States Senate. This week, I caught up with Dr. Marshall and talked about the work he is doing in Southwest Kansas, along with what campaigning during a global pandemic looks like. And I'm here with Congressman Dr. Roger Marshall, who just received an endorsement from us here at Kansas Farm Bureau. Congressman Marshall, thank you for joining me today.
You bet, Noah. And thank you so much for the endorsement. To all your listeners, to all of Kansas Farm Bureau, I'm truly humbled. You know, I'm a fifth-generation farm kid, and I just wish my grandma, mainly my grandma, I'm not sure why her, but she would have been especially proud. My grandparents, all of them would have been. I spent so much time, like many of your listeners, growing up on the farm at their hillside, just helping them with all the chores. And, you know, among other things, they taught me a great hard work ethic. And just the last thing maybe I'd say about Farm Bureau's endorsements is I know that it's putting your reputation on the line. So many people ask me to sign a letter of endorsement when I haven't even met them or hardly know them. But in this case, you all know me very well. We've been working together as your congressman now for 3 years. We've done a farm bill. We've worked on trade. We've worked on regulations. We've worked on ethanol issues. So many things. You know who I am, and you still endorse me. So I'm greatly, greatly honored. And then just this grassroots. I would argue that Farm Bureau has the largest grassroots organization association in the state, and they get out and vote. So Noah, thank you so much for having me, and thanks to all of Farm Bureau for that endorsement.
Well, thanks, and we're glad to have you. You know, we've gotten to work alongside, as you said, a lot of great things, a lot of great work that we do here at Farm Bureau, and we're very happy to have you with us today. Just to start off, kind of, you've been helping out on the front lines with some of this COVID-19, the pandemic as it goes across Kansas. If you could just talk a little bit about what are you seeing and what have you seen in some of these hospitals across the state?
Right. So a week and a half ago, I spent several days in Kansas City, Kansas at an outpatient clinic. This past week, I've been down in Southwest Kansas working with the testing centers, making sure that they're geared up and have everything they need. And then actually spent the last several days working in the ICU and the emergency room there in Liberal, Kansas. This is a tough disease. You don't want it. You know, and as we talk about opening up Kansas, what that looks like, I just want to caution people. If you're over the age of 65 or you have a healthcare problem like diabetes or hypertension, you really need to keep with your social distancing, mask on, hand washing, all those things. But I think I'm going to talk about Southwest Kansas because it's so important to Kansas agriculture and important to this country. Most people don't realize, you know, we're Kansans, we keep our head down, we don't brag, but 25% of America's beef is processed in Southwest Kansas. And because of the absenteeism, the illnesses that some of the employees have had, they're working at about 50% capacity. So that means I've got feedlots down there that for 3 or 4 weeks that have not sold a head of cattle to the packing plants. So it's creating a huge backup. So it's not only impacting the feedlots, of course, that's going to eventually impact my cow-calf operations and all the way up and down the food chain. It's going to affect my corn farmer, you know, in Riley County, because so much of that corn ends up down there feeding our cattle out and other parts of the state as well. So doing everything we can to keep that up and going. Just want to say thanks to the employees out there at the packing plants for working so hard and for really putting their families at risk as well. But I'm also proud of the packing plants, what they've done to help protect those employees. Before they go into the building, they're all screened. They're asked four or five typical questions. Are you running a fever? Do you have a sore throat? That type of thing. And they check their temperatures. If anything's positive, they're kicked out of that line. They go see the nurses, and the nurses get them tested. Boy, just so proud of what they've done in those three communities for the mass testing. All three communities, Ford County, Finney County, Seward County, they're testing over 100 people a day. County health officials working with the National Guard, working with local people. So just proud of what we're doing down there as a team to try to keep this virus contained.
I'm from Tribune, so I'm kind of from that Southwest Kansas area, and it's been great to see the county health officials really help us out in those regions. It's definitely, as you know, a different area of the state, and it's great to have some help alongside for sure. So I kind of want to talk about going off what's going on kind of in Southwest Kansas. We've also talked about a bit of a rural broadband internet issue. We've kind of ran into that as the pandemic goes on. Just kind of what is going on a federal level as a response to the rural broadband crisis we've had, not only across Kansas, but across rural areas in the United States.
Right, Noah. So this has been a priority since we were elected 3 years ago. And this is a great example of Kansas Farm Bureau, American Farm Bureau, working together with Congress to come up with a plan to help. So you can go back to the Farm Bill. Most people don't realize there's, I believe, $608 million in the Farm Bill for rural broadband. And then since then, the USDA has come out with several tranches of money, I'm sure over $1 billion worth, to target rural broadband. And then in the CARES Act, another hundreds of millions of dollars as well. And you know what? Even just working in the hospital there in Liberal yesterday, the ability to use telemedicine is so important so that the ER doctors there can connect with, say, someone at Wichita at Wesley Medical Center if somebody's having a stroke or a heart attack as well. So all across the state, many of the hospitals and their ERs now have the ability to do that. For agriculture, of course, the farmers today download volumes, books worth of information every day to practice precision agriculture. So, and what Farm Bureau's role in all this is, when the different companies gave us a map of where we had good high-speed internet, where we had good phone connections, didn't exactly jive with what a lot of my constituents were talking about. So Farm Bureau stepped up and helped us work on that map. So it's a process. I do think it's a lot better today than it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And from telemedicine standpoint, we're going to see more advancement in telemedicine over the next 2 months than we have over the past 2 years for a lot of reasons because of this coronavirus. So we're going to keep at it. You know, my mom grew up on a dead-end road, didn't have electricity till eighth grade. So just like in her day and age, getting electricity to that last farm, that last mile, let alone a telephone. She had the old community line, party line until, goodness, long after I was in grade school, still there, her parents did. So that's our challenge today, and we're going to keep working at it. I appreciate Farm Bureau's leadership in that area as well.
Definitely. And kind of going off what some of the responses are going to be here, I know you guys in Congress are going to be tasked with a number of issues after this is all over. The cleanup phase from this is going to be immense. And what exactly are you looking for to kind of support farmers and ranchers across the country after this pandemic ends? You touched on, you know, beef prices are falling because production is falling at the packing plants, and also corn production is falling because of lack of ethanol production and the lack of corn needed to feed cattle because production is down. So kind of what are you seeing on the federal response level for farmers and ranchers across the state?
Well, no, look, you know, first of all, you know, whether it's the oil industry or agriculture or the restaurant industry, we have to get America going. And people talk about what is going to happen in phase four. And I'm telling you, what phase four is figuring out a safe, responsible way to open up business. You know, Japan, South Korea are our top importers of beef. We need them to get rolling again. We need China to come back online. The president's worked on some incredible trade agreements that I was very proud to be part of. And we haven't been able to really implement those. The tariffs are coming down. They're equal now. So we've got great opportunities there. We need restaurants to be able to open. You know, I don't have to tell you this or your listeners that the high-end steaks don't have a destination right now. There's still people using a lot of hamburger, but our high-end meats are sitting there being wasted to some extent. So we have to get America going. Now, The other thing I've tried to communicate to the White House, and I think successfully, is that agriculture was the first one impacted by the virus. Way back in January, a month before the airlines were screaming, agriculture had the bottom fall out of already troubling markets. We lost another 25%. And I think that was basically due to Japan and Korea and China shutting down all the imports as well. So part of the response is $19 billion for agriculture. So $19 billion with a B, and a large portion of that, probably I'm going to guess around 5%, is going to be for the livestock industry. So we've been working with Secretary Perdue to see what, as he gets ready to roll that out. And I'm expecting him to have announcements this week, what that's going to look like, or next week, and folks to start signing up of it with it, probably to the FSA office. And then going forward, hopefully get payments to people in June. But I certainly have communicated to the Secretary on multiple occasions, as well as the White House, that this won't touch it. This is not going to touch the problems we're having right now, especially with some of the payment limit issues for folks. I just think most people don't understand the cash it takes to leverage a feedlot operation in today's world. And so we're trying to revisit that as well. So those are a couple of things that we're working on. And then circle back to what we've already talked about, how important it is we get our processing plants, not just in Kansas, but all across the country, opened up as well. So we got to get America rolling again, and we got to figure out how to get through this COVID virus, keep the packing plants open.
I just have to ask, you know, this is a very – I've been involved in gubernatorial campaigns in the past, and this is obviously a very different time for you all. You're not able to travel from county to county like we typically see and hold town halls with folks. So how has this been an adjustment kind of on for you? You've campaigned before, obviously. How has this kind of changed for you as this pandemic has rolled on and obviously face-to-face interactions have been cut out?
Right. You know, Noah, I've just been so locked in on this coronavirus as a physician and as a congressman that the active campaigning has pretty much fallen to the wayside. On the other hand, we've certainly done lots of media opportunities. We've spoken to thousands of people. We've done town halls. I did a Facebook Live last night, over 2,000 people on that Facebook Live. We've done telephone town halls, I think, when there were 6,000 or 7,000 people on them as well. So, you know, I just tell people you can tell what type of a senator I've been by what type of congressman I've been, that I've been interviewing for this job, United States Senate, for 3 years, and we bring some pretty unique skills that God has blessed me with. And has there ever been more important to have someone in Congress, a U.S. senator, that understands healthcare and agriculture? Being able to use those, that knowledge has been so instrumental going forward. So the campaign's going to take care of itself. God's got that in his hands. I'm going to stay locked in on getting Kansas back to work, and I have confidence Kansas will send the best person to be their next United States senator. Some big boots to fill. You know, along with Farm Bureau's endorsement, we got Senator Bob Dole's endorsement, Governor Jeff Collier's endorsement. But those big boots to fill of Pat Roberts, Jerry Moran, Bob Dole before him, making sure that Kansas has a voice on the Senate Ag Committee. Guess what we'll be doing here in a year or two? We're going to be doing hearings on the next farm bill. It's hard to imagine. So I'm absolutely dedicated to make sure that we have a voice on that Ag Committee. And it's just so important that this grassroots organization, when it's time, step forward. You can help us with signs. You can do some other volunteer work with us. And I'm sure that we'll be engaged with Kansas Farm Bureau in some type of an organized effort. Ask people to follow us on social media. We try to do some really good things on that as well. So the campaign is going to take care of itself. We're just going to keep working as hard as we can, just like my farmers out there working 14, 16 hours a day. We've been working 14, 16 hours a day. But as far as I know, I've not seen one farmer miss a day of work, and by golly, I haven't either.
Thank you so much again for talking with me today. We wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, no, and if I can just close by just saying, look, you know, you can choose to live in fear. The national media has tried so hard to put fear into our hearts. And my concern going forward isn't just the physical part of this virus, but the mental health going forward, the worry and the burden that all of us are having, especially in agriculture, the financial burden that we're all having. Reach out to your neighbors, your friends, and your family. I know you can't touch them and hug them, but reach out in some way This is the time to be a good neighbor. I know lots of people are struggling right now. You can choose to live in fear, or you can choose to live with faith and hope. And I just encourage people to reach down into their faith and live their life with hope. We're going to get through this. We've done harder things before this country has. We'll get through this. God bless everybody. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Thank you so much. Again, thank you to Dr. Roger Marshall for taking the time to talk with me this week. You can find a list of candidates endorsed by Kansas Farm Bureau on our website at www.kfb.org/news. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. That is all for today. Saying so long from Manhattan, for Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture, I'm Noah Auctioner. Inside Ag is made possible by the Kansas Farm Bureau members from across the 105 counties of Kansas. To find out how you can become a member, visit www.kfb.org/join.